us look toward heaven.
Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, God. We thank you and we praise you, God, for all that you do, God. And God, we know that there is no other way. For you have declared in your word that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me, God. So, God, we thank you that you are the way, Heavenly Father, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you're not only the way, but you've made a way, Father. And so, God, we're asking now, God, that your word would go forth, God. That, God, you would give me preaching power, God. That hearts might be changed, God. That lives might be affected by your word, Father, and not by me, but by your word, God. We thank you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. There's a story of a very wise teacher. This teacher was known as a teacher, and people came from miles around to hear his words of wisdom. And at one engagement in a town square, this great teacher arose to teach. And he opened his message with a story of an untouched lamp. He talked about this lamp, how it had been made with some of the finest craftsmanship. The maker of the lamp used the state of the art of that time to make sure that the lamp would burn efficiently. And not only would it give light, but it also give heat. This was a light that you could sit in the center of the room, and it would light up the entire room and provide heat on those cold, dark nights. But no one touched the lamp. It just stayed in the corner and had begun to collect dust. And so the people that were listening to him said, what's the meaning behind this story? He said, this lamp is the word of God. And it sits in the corner collecting dust. It has a great benefit, but no one uses it. Begin to wonder why. Why is it that no one would use this light that would give these great benefits of light and heat? He began to explain to him. He said, because the people have become comfortable in the darkness. That's the title of my message. Don't get comfortable in the darkness. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Acts, the 28th chapter. We're going to read your hearing. Three verses, but I'm recommending that you read the entire chapter for context. Beginning at verse number 26, he says, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hearing with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. This is the Apostle Paul. His words. In Bible study, we have began a journey through the book of Romans. And Paul, in his book, opens it up and said that I, Paul, a servant of God, have been called to be an apostle. And understand that the Apostle Paul was called to be an apostle to the Gentile nation. Paul goes on after that and tells how he desires to come to Rome, that he might impart some spiritual blessings unto them. Paul has not made it to Rome. But in this text, today, Paul has arrived at Rome. Did not come in the manner in which he perhaps thought he would come. Because Paul now comes to Rome as a prisoner. Paul comes to defend his case to Caesar. Paul has been through many ups and downs. This journey has been difficult. This journey has been hard on Paul. It has created many of hardships in his life. His own kinsmen, the Jews, sought to kill him. As a matter of fact, the Gentile kings would have released him had it not been for his own folk. And understand, sometimes it's like that, brothers and sisters. Sometimes the folk that you think that are really in your corner are the main ones against you. And so Paul is defending himself, his apostolic authority, and he appeals to Caesar because the Jews wanted him dead. And so Paul makes this journey in bonds, in chains, to Rome. Along the way, Paul boards a ship, and there's a sea that arises, and he's shipwrecked. Him and everyone that is on the ship find themselves in the middle of the sea, holding on to broken pieces just to get to the other side. And God spares all of them. Every last one of them. And listen, if that's not enough, if that wasn't enough, as Paul is building a fire that they might be able to warm themselves, he's bitten by a venomous snake. And the folks say, sure enough, he escaped the shipwreck. But Paul, you're not going to escape this one. But God spared his life. Why? Because Paul needed to be in Rome. He needed to testify of the goodness of God to the people in Rome. And so God made sure that Paul would get where he needed to get to. If we could call Paul in here right now, he would testify to the goodness of God and the keeping power of God. And how many of us can do the same thing? You know that God has brought you over some stuff. You know some stuff you should have never made it out of, but God brought you through. And yet you failed to give God adequate praise for what he's done for you and where he's brought you from. Yes, it's by the almighty hand of God. Because Paul realizes he should have been out of here a long time ago. And understand, one of the primary functions of Paul, whenever he went in a new city, the first thing he went was to the Jewish synagogue. Because Paul held fast to the fact that the salvation was to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. So Paul took his services to the Jew first. This was no different. God had been providing for him, had been keeping him, but now he wants to speak to the Jewish leaders. And so he comes to the Jewish leaders and he presents his case. He said that Felix and Agrippa would have let me go. But our countrymen are the ones that kept me in bondage. And they begin to testify the fact. They said, we have not heard anything bad about you, Paul. That there's been no news that have come our way about you, concerning you. But the religion that you're in, the Christian sect that you're in, no one has said anything good about it. So Paul agrees to meet with them in a later date. And so that's what brings us to our text today. There's this meeting between them. And Paul begins to preach to them Jesus Christ concerning the scripture, the Old Testament. He goes back to the Old Testament, the law, and proved that Jesus is the Christ. Well, quite naturally, this causes a split between the two. There were those who believed what Paul had said, but then there was those that didn't. And it's much what we see today, because everybody's not going to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. But understand that it did not deter Paul. Did not stop Paul from doing what he was doing. Paul stood on the word of God. Paul proclaimed the gospel message. Those who received it with gladness was good, but if you didn't, shame on you. And understand that I don't care who won't receive this gospel message. I won't stop preaching it. I won't stop talking about it. I won't stop telling people about it. Because you never know who it's going to affect. But Paul begins to look at these ones that would not believe his testimony. And he goes back in the Old Testament, Isaiah, the 6th chapter. And that's where this quotation comes from, in Isaiah, the 6th chapter. This is for the Jewish nation. Paul is talking to the Jewish nation. Look at the Jewish nation. This is the nation that God handpicked. These were people that had seen the mighty move of God. These are the same people that God took out of a famine situation and let them go into Egypt in the choice of lands. They had the good fertile ground in Egypt. And God had begun to bless them so much, they began to multiply. I mean, everything, cattle, children, people, all just multiply. God's hand was with them. It was undeniable, to the point where Pharaoh began to become fearful and said, we got to put a stop to this. So Pharaoh enslaved them and put heavy burdens upon them. And the more burdens he put on them, the more they were blessed, the more they multiplied, the more they were fruitful. And so Pharaoh got angry. But God, even in all of this, even in all of this hardship that he placed on them, God still brought them out. And listen, he didn't bring them out empty-handed. He brought them out with the riches of Egypt in their hands. This is all leading up to something. God has been good to them. But yet they could not see it. It was God that parted the Red Sea. And they were able to walk over on dry land. And once they got over, it drowned their enemies that could not pursue them. It was God that took them to the mouth of Mount Sinai and gave them his law. And they declared there that all that you said, we will do. They heard the word, but they weren't willing to keep the word. And I guess that's bringing us up to date today. Is that how many of us are hearing the word, but not letting the word affect our lives, not allowing the word to illuminate our path and show us the directions in which God has given us? God has been good to this nation, but guess what? God has been good to you as well. Listen, that was a good praise break right there. God has been good to you as well. I should not have to get you excited about what God is doing in your life. Listen, I'm excited enough about what the Lord is doing in my life. And if I ever stand up here and testify to the goodness of God, I can shout all by myself. I don't need you to shout with me. Because I know how good God has been to me. I know where the Lord has brought me from. And I won't let the darkness of this world overtake me and overshadow me. Because I got the light of the glorious gospel living inside of me. How can I ever sit down on this gospel message? These people had been blessed by God. And so Isaiah takes pen. Listen here, 900 years before Paul writes what he writes. For 900 years, the people still had not changed. Their hearts had not been moved. The nation was still headed down the wrong direction. 900 years of blessings. 900 years of miracles. Not to mention their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, showing up on the scene. Loving them and showing them how to live, giving his life for them, and they still yet rejected it. How many of us reject what God has done? I know you come in here and you say that you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. But how many of us are just hearing that? How many only have that intellectually? You see, because when you really believe it, when you really have conceived it, it produces a change in your life. Had the people gotten Isaiah's message 900 years earlier, it would be no need for Paul to write what he's writing. For 900 years, you stayed in darkness. And listen here, it was a conscious choice of theirs. They had knowledge of the word of God. As a matter of fact, they were the ones with the keepers of God's word. And it was their job to disperse, to give it out, to teach others the word of God. But here they are, hearing, but not perceiving, not comprehending what the text is really saying. And that's why I think it's vitally important for us as pastors and preachers to slow down and to speak clearly and plainly to you, that you might be able to understand and comprehend what God is really trying to say. And God is trying to tell us that we got to come out of this. That he's done far too much for us. We got to come out of this. We got to let go of some of this stuff. We need to take advantage of the light that God has given us. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. But what are you doing with him? What are you doing with him? Have you set him over in the corner? Because it's not just your Bible that's collecting dust. It's your testimony. It's your witness. It's how you live your life. Because God's not going to dwell in that. He desires a clean temple. He desires a pure heart. He desires hands that are useful for him. But we get caught up. So we have to look at it from the reality of this world is in spiritual blindness. The prevalence of spiritual blindness in the world today both exists within the world as well as in the church. It's not just the world that is struggling with blindness, it's also in our churches. There are some folk that sit in these very pews right here that hear the same word that you hear, and it never has an effect on their lives. A lot of times we come in here predisposed on what we're going to accept and what we're not going to accept. If the preacher's not saying what you want him to say, then you're going to tune it right out. But I don't understand that the only way you're going to grow is that even if you don't like it, still take the medicine. Even if you don't like what he's saying, still be willing to say, could that apply to my life? Because that's the only way. That's the only way you're going to get any better. The reality of it is that most of us are sick and we don't even know it. We've been accustomed to this darkness. We've become accustomed to trauma and tragedy in our lives. We just get over it. And we never get healed. A lot of us have some old wounds that still need healing. And you have not allowed God to come in and to heal it. It takes you surrendering, say, God, yes, I'm wounded. I've been hurt, God. God is not angry with you. Come to, Lord, I'm angry. I'm upset, God. I need your help. See, let me tell you something. I'm tired of lying. I'm tired of lying about, everything is okay. Everything is fine with me. No, everything may not be fine with me. But I got a God that's able, that's well able. When I go to him, he can make everything right. But just me and my own self, I am no match for the devil or none of his tricks or his imps, his pimp, none of them. But when I take it to the Lord in prayer, when I go to God and I begin to pour out my heart to God, I begin to let him know, God, there's darkness all around me, God. I can't seem to see my way, but God, I trust that you're going to make a way for me. You're going to shine the light on my path, God. You see, because I can hear and I can comprehend. I know what God is trying to do in this season. But I also am not ignorant of Satan and his devices. I know what he's trying to do as well. So Satan, don't come trying to pull nothing on me, because I see you coming from afar off. And I know that everything that I have is in your hand. You see, because this is a spiritual thing. This is not a fleshy thing. Listen, Paul writes in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, he said, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Here's the reason why. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is a spiritual thing. You can't find the fight in the natural. And there are times that you need to spend more time on your knees. You need to put the hands down, get down on your knees and begin to pray, because this is a spiritual attack. Then we must also take a look at the cause of spiritual blindness. There are three causes that I have for spiritual blindness. The first one is pride and self-righteousness. You see, you have to be careful where you stand lest ye fall. Some of us are too prideful to even go to God. Some of us are too prideful to say, God, I need your help. Why? Because you've been given a little bit of talent to be able to work some things out and figure some things out. But understand, anything that you do will only be temporary. Problems will come right back and they'll circle around and they'll come back and get you on the backside. But when you begin to surrender, realize that I ain't all of that. We realize that I have not arrived yet. Realize that I'm still weak in some areas of my life and I need God to stand with me. Realize that I can't keep myself. I can't hold myself up. I keep on trying, but I keep on failing. You got to get away from this. Because understand that it's not just about understanding who God is. It's about trusting God. You see, because I follow God not because I understand him. I follow him because I trust him. I have this trust in him. I have this faith in him that no matter what I come up against, God is able to do it, even if I cannot do it. Even if I can't see it, I know God sees it. You see, because God sees every bump in the road. God will give you light. He will illuminate and give you light to see every bump in the road. He'll give you the power to be overcome it. So don't be like the Jews. Don't be like the Pharisees, who had pride in just being a Jew. But you know that's not enough. There are some Jewish folk that have died and gone to hell, believing in a religion, and rather believing in the Savior of the world. Don't you be guilty of believing in the Baptist faith.
and you forget all about what Jesus Christ did upon the cross. You see, because the Baptist faith wouldn't be the Baptist faith if it wasn't for what Christ did upon the cross. And if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be a part of no church. But this is his church. And I feel good in his church. I feel like preaching up in his church. I believe that that's what you came here for, to get a word from the Lord. The second reason is because people's hearts have become hardened. You've been in this mess for so long, to the point to where you become used to it, and now your heart is hardened to any type of help whatsoever. You've been wounded. The devil has been having his way with you. And you believe that there's no way out. There's no escape. And so you become hardened. Your heart has become callous. And it takes God to be able to break through that hardness of heart. That was the problem with the Jews. These same ones that Paul was talking to and speaking to, they had become hard-hearted. They wanted it their way, according to how they wanted it to be. And we are doing the same thing. We come to church. I don't deal with the church, because we come to church because it's not done like we want it to be done. Because the pastor's not saying it like you want it to be said. Because things are not being done the way that you think they ought to be done. Then you want to get your bat and your ball and go home, and you don't want to play no more. And then you get mad at the church when we don't reach out to you. You get mad at the church when we don't step out there. We've already tried to get you and to bring you back in. But there are some folks that we at the place now, we've been praying for you. Listen here, let me tell you something. You know, I'll never get to that place to where I close off my heart to anybody. There's never a time that I'll close my arms to anybody. If folk don't want to go with you, let them go. Because I'm not trying to make anybody go. I will try to convince you. I will give you the word of God. I will always continuously love you. I will always be standing with my arms ready for reconciliation, ready for to receive you back. But I can't make you come. As a matter of fact, that's the problem with the church. We got too many churches making folk do stuff. And that's why people walk away from the church, because they didn't come doing it because God changed their hearts and had them doing it. They're doing it because it's the expectation of folk. No, people need to come because that's what they want. Their hearts have been touched. Their hearts have been softened. And the God has deposited that seed down on the inside of it, and it begins to grow. That's what we're looking for. That's the new birth experience. It is not by coming down here, shaking the preacher's hand, and getting on road. That's not going to do it. That's not enough. You got to let the word of God pierce through that hardened heart. You got to let it penetrate. You got to let it begin to do a new work within your heart. Because that's the only way that you're going to last. So we know that pride is a problem. We know that a hardened heart is a problem. The third reason is people just plainly love darkness. The Bible says because their deeds are evil. And it's easy to do evil in the dark. You say, no, nobody wants to have a light shine upon them when they're doing their evil, when they're doing their dirt. But understand that this world loves darkness. My question is, when did the church start operating in darkness? Let, let, me tell you, I've been looking at some of these things on YouTube, you know, and some of these worship services, and I've seen how the lights are now dim. And it's dark. I mean, as the preacher, you can't even see the folk face. And sometimes that's a good thing. Because sometimes folk look at you like, you know, I ain't feeling you, Pastor. I ain't feeling you. I'm like Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, the Lord told Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces, Deke. Don't look them in the face. Don't be afraid of it. But I'm wondering, is that like a microcosm of how the spirituality of the church is becoming? To where there's a darkness in the sanctuary. There's a darkness in people's lives. You know, a lot of folk don't mind showing that dark side. You know, they don't mind getting out there showing off the dark side. But when it comes to showing the light, I guess that's why bad news travels better than good news, right? Because anything that's seen that's dark, that's down, that's dreary, that's of the enemy, people seem to relish in that. They glory in that type of stuff. Amen. I'm reminded of the church at Corinth. Yes, sir. When the man was caught in the act of adultery with his father's wife. Talked about how the church was puffed up. They were proud of this. How in the world could this happen in the church? It's because people love darkness. You see, here's the thought here. If he can get it, be in the church, and he can get away with it, what can I get away with? It's like a veil of darkness. And that's why Paul said, put him out the church. And the reason being, he said, because a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. In other words, if you let this go on, all kinds of sin will be going on. So if you let a little darkness stay in the church, it'll be dark before you know it, it'll be dark all over the place. So that's why we must deal with this. We must deal with the darkness that's in the church. We must deal with people not letting their light shine. Whatever happened to letting our light shine? I mean, what is that, an old concept in the church or something that we've done away with? No, we are to be the light of the world. And what we really are is we're a reflection of the light of Jesus Christ. So as God, Jesus began to shine his light on us, we reflected and emulated to other folk to let them see the light. Because even when they can't see it, we as believers should be able to see it. We should be able to tell them what the word of God says. It's the light. And then we have this invitation to spiritual light. We need to be inviting God light into our lives. But we also need to be community activists and going out and spreading the gospel, giving them the invitation to come in and to be recipients of the same light that we have. And I think that this is really where the rubber meets the road at, because a lot of times when we're not shining like we ought to be shining, we have a tendency to draw back from being evangelistic in our approach. Jesus said it like this, how can the blind lead the blind? They both fall into a ditch. So when we don't exercise that spiritual eye, that spiritual light that God has for us, then how can we help anybody else get out of their circumstances and situation? I'm dealing with the church, because the world already know how messed up, how jacked up it is. But there are times I don't think that the church really understands. I don't think we really understand the severity of our condition. Now, don't get me wrong. This is still Jesus' church. He's still doing a great work. And let me tell you something. I thank God, because I've been blessed to pastor one of the finest churches on this side of heaven, I believe. That's what I believe. And here's the reason why. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. The reason why is because I think, I know that the foundation was set correctly. I know the foundation of good, sound, biblical teaching was set a long time ago, long before I even got here. There was some good teaching, there was some good instruction, and I'm going to tell you the reason why I know that, because I've talked to some other folk from other churches, and I've come to discover they ain't here with Macedonia, no. I'm going to tell you flat out. Some of the elementary stuff that you guys have learned from the pulpit, they don't even have. God has blessed this church. Amen, amen. God has been a blessing in this church. And that's why I implore you that you be a blessing to God and be a blessing to God's people. So we have good foundation. But secondly, we're open to be taught. It's easy to teach people who are teachable. In Macedonia, I want to tell you, you are a teachable people. Amen, amen, amen. That was only a handful of people, man. I mean, come on. You are a teachable people. Yeah. It's the word of God. You have a love and a hunger for the word of God. And that's a good place to be. I just want to tell you, continue to want to learn. Continue to hear and to comprehend. Don't be like these people. Because at the end of the day, Paul tells them that if you hear and you comprehend, if you see, then he wants to convert you. That's the main objective and the goal is conversion. That he wants to take you from that old person that you used to be and to convert you into this new person in which he can use for his glory. That's the whole goal behind preaching and teaching is to have people converted. Come from that old way of doing things, that old life, and come into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. That's what he wants. And Jesus came to show us that way. He said that I am the light of the world, and that he is. He came to be a light to us. He came to be a light for us that we might be able to see his goodness. That we might be able to see the path of righteousness. Yes, you've been imputed righteousness, but there is a pathway of righteousness that you need to be able to clearly see. And that's what Jesus has come to do. He came and he walked. He lived this life. He walked this world. He showed us how to do it. He showed us how to live. But listen here, in doing so, it got him in trouble. Because these same Jewish people that Paul is writing to were the ones that crucified him, that took him, that arrested him, had him arrested, had him marched from judgment hall to judgment hall. They lied on him. They told all kinds of lies against him, called him everything but a child of God. But yet he never said a mumbling word. Because Jesus understood his purpose. He understood his mission. Just living the life was only a part of it. He had to come. He came to die for our sins. He came to give his life for our sins. And that he did. On Golgotha's hill, he stretched out his hands. Let me make it plain. He took the nails in his hands. He took one from you and he took one from me. They put rivets in his feet. They hung him high between his Father in heaven. Mother sat at the foot of the cross, heartbreaking. But yet Jesus kept on dying. He died for us. He gave up the ghost. He had an opportunity to come off, but he chose not to. Yes, he died. They took him off the cross, buried him in a borrowed man's tomb. He stayed there all day, Friday. All Saturday, But the record declared that early on the third day he rose with all power of heaven and earth in his hands. That's the gospel message. That is the gospel message that transforms lives. And if you want to have a brand new life, you must come through this way. You must come by the way. Why do you keep walking in darkness when you've got the best lamp in the world? You've set it over in the corner and will not light it, that you might be able to see what God has done for you. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. Jesus gave his life. Are you willing to give yours to him in sacrifice and service? What are you willing to render unto the Lord? Amen.
Macedonia Baptist Church family, to Pastor Minor and the entire family, we have come in by Christian Experience, Crystal Mangum, and she's coming from Principle of Faith Missionary Baptist Church.
Amen, amen. Welcome home. Amen, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Listen, we thank God for you. And if no one else knows, I know how difficult of a decision this was. And we're trusting and believing that God is leading you and directing you. We are honored to have you. And we thank God for you. We're praying with you and for you. Amen. Is there something you would like to say?
I thank God for being here today, and thank you all for having me back.
Amen. We're going to ask you to go. Who's taking her back? We need somebody down here. Who's it? Okay. All right, you can go. Lead her out. Lead her back. Amen. Amen. Okay. They're going to have prayer with you and have you fill out some information. Okay. Yeah. Amen. Let's church say amen. Amen. Church, we live in a dark world. The reality of it is that it's only going to get darker. We see the day approaching when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to crack the sky. And he's going to come back. He's going to rapture his church off this earth. The Bible says that we will forever be with the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. I'm tired of the darkness. Amen. I share with you guys, I mean, because there are some times, and I believe that it's important for leaders to be transparent and to let you know that we have our moments of weakness. We have our moments of darkness. And I'm reminded of what Jesus said about John the Baptist. Yes, sir. John the Baptist sent his disciples when he was in prison saying, "Are you the one or should we look for another?" And Jesus remarked to him, said, "Go back and tell John that the people are being saved, people are being healed." And then he gave this tribute to John the Baptist. He said, "Even this doubter, John the Baptist, is the greatest man born of a woman. So even the best of men have times of weakness, have times of having, you know, troubles in their lives. We all have our struggles. But understand this, that we're all in this together. Because when I hurt, you ought to hurt. When you hurt, I do hurt. And so we got to continue to, I mean, pretending like everything is all right. There's times that we have to bring things to God. I'm always bringing something to God. Even things that I don't even understand. Folk that have hurt me, God keeps pushing me to love them anyway. And he'll keep pushing me until I can't get any rest. Because that's the type of God he is. He's a God of forgiveness. He's a God of compassion. And that's what all of us need to have in our lives. All right, I'm done. Please stand to your feet. No. We got to come on. I'm about to get us out of here. Come on, Madam Clerk.
Good afternoon again, Macedonia Baptist Church family. As of today, May 5th, 2024, we have one new member. And as I call your name, would you please come down front and face Pastor Minor? And the name is Brandon Williams. He's coming from upstairs. He's upstairs.
You turn me off? Okay, there we go. All right. How you doing, Brandon? Great. Listen, we're going to ask you to make your public profession of faith. And that's simply saying that I have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If you would say that out loud for everyone to hear.
I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Amen. Now that you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, how long will you serve him? Forever? Okay, all right. Will you serve him by witnessing to others about his goodness and give your testimony about how he saved you? Amen. Will you pray not only for your loved ones, but also for your enemies? Amen. Will you make a commitment to come to church regularly, seek Bible study? We have it online as well as Sunday school, that you might be able to grow for the edification of your faith. Amen. I'm going to ask you now to turn around. Church, please stand. This is your new church family. Amen. We thank God for you. Okay, we're going to ask that you sit over to the side as we prepare ourselves for communion.